Okay, so let's get started. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. All of this information is in the agenda that we sent out, but this is the link to join the CCG group, and you may have to ensure you have a W3 web account first. None of these require payment, just setting up an account. And then the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement is available at this link. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived in our GitHub repository at the following location. And so yes, we will, okay, here's one thing we're still trying to figure out as we play around with Zoom. Okay, Zoom is much better than our IRC channel in our former methods of connecting in every way, but one, we really like the queuing mechanism from IRC. So if you can, please queue on IRC. I'll be monitoring that throughout the meeting. If you, for whatever reason, find it inconvenient to get over there, just you can queue plus in Zoom and we'll migrate you over to IRC to just keep order that way. But yes, but in general, you type the letter Q, symbol plus to queue yourself. What else? Okay, all attendees should type present plus in IRC to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. So please do that now. You can see an example of how I done it. The word present, symbol plus, no space. If you're not over there, we'll figure it out. Okay, and yes, if you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. Please be brief so the rest of the queue gets a chance to chime in. You can always queue plus again. And then let's move on. Let's have a introductions and reintroductions section. So I think we have a few people that we haven't seen as frequently, or maybe they've been CCG community members for a while, but maybe are new to this call. Does anyone want to volunteer to introduce themselves? Otherwise, I'll call on a few people.
I can
this start. Is Martin from Spherium. We've been active in the DID verifiable credentials different groups. We are now active, also been for a while, in the educational credentials with a couple of projects. So we'd like to contribute to discussions and to the standardization.
Great, thank you for joining. Kostas, I think we have you next.
Hello everyone, my name is Kostas Karasavas. I've been working with the University of Nicosia to create a platform that anchors digital certificates into blockchain. It's blockchain agnostic, but right now it's in Bitcoin. And who have been in the process of trying to standardize using verifiable credentials, which is compatible, but there are a couple of issues that we can discuss later on.
And Scott, Molly, I think you had unmuted yourself.
I'm also at Spherion with Martin. And yeah, we've been active in other verifiable credential communities and also to some extent with the CCG, but this is our first time joining the educational group. So I'm interested to listen in and just see what's going on over here.
Great, thank you. Anyone else want to introduce themselves?
I'm happy to go, Kim. This is Simone. I'm calling from Italy. I work for Digitary, which is a company that has a global footprint in issuing digital credentials in the higher education space. And I've been advocating for open standards and interoperability for a while. Actually, that's the part that I like best about my job. And I specifically would like to see an uptake and adoption of learner record standards that have, I guess, endorsement or consensus between the EU and the US, you know, at scale. So that is one thing that I'd like to see, that and with that create a ripple effect globally. But I think there are some low-hanging fruits there, and I'm calling on maybe Anthony on the Europass side and what's happening around learner records in the US. That already is something that this group, you know, I hope would take into consideration.
Great, thank you, Simone. That's something I'm very excited about too. I noticed we have Phil on the queue. Phil?
Yes, thank you, Kim. I'm Phil Long, and I'm the community cat herder for the LER pilot projects for the T3 Innovation Network, and an advisor to the TLN at ASU. And like Simone, I'm very interested in bringing some harmonization to the different issuing methods that are becoming quite well established in different parts of the world, but not yet well coordinated or coordinated much at all. And I'm also very interested in a couple of other domains that this area is addressing that have to do with the kinds of DIDs that people issuing credentials for learning and education need to be concentrating on, and the communication clearly of the value proposition of this to adopters. Thanks.
Great, thank you, Phil. So we have a few things, so now we're at the main working session part of it. Let's see, so one of the things I wanted to go through was the verifiable credentials for education models issues that are right here that I'm pasting into chat. And then Kostas joined us. So I think, you know, there's been a few PDF VC discussions, but I think Kostas's group is maybe further along than some other ones. And they're doing it in a different way from what Leonard Rosenthal who joined from Adobe. So I think it might be interesting to, I think you'll find the approach interesting because it lends itself to working with the different standards that we've worked on in the CCG group as well, like the kind of signature suites that we use here. So I think Kostas is interested in starting a work item through CCG that might get some, you know, at least open standards understanding of that approach. And so does anyone have anything else they want to add to the agenda today? Anything they want to discuss? I think, and actually, let's see. So Q, you can either add yourself to the queue or, oh, sorry, let me just turn off my camera. There we go. Okay. There is some crazy light here. When we get light in Seattle, it's just over the top, which is nice. So yes, add yourself to the queue if you have anything you want to add to the agenda. I think I'd like to start with Kostas to present what he had in mind for the PDF standardization approach that he was interested in proposing. Kostas, you're up.
Thank you, Kim. I'm not sure if you follow the conversation thread in the chat. Many of you probably did, but some of you probably didn't. So I might give a brief overview of what we have been working on and then go on getting into, you know, more details about the work items and how we are thinking about it. So as I said in the introduction, So the project started from academia, but it's actually being extended elsewhere now in other domains. The idea is that we use the PDF as the medium of exchange. So if you have a diploma, for example, the PDF itself is the diploma, the digital version of the physical copy of the diploma. So you can actually double click in a PDF viewer and view it and do everything what you would do anyway. A lot of institutions do that already, so it's pretty seamless to start using our methodology, our mechanism, which is to take these PDFs and anchor them to the blockchain, and then get a blockchain proof, something that proves that this was actually issued in a specific block somewhere on a specific blockchain, and inserting that into the PDF metadata, with the end result being a PDF like students or awardees would get anyway, but inside it, it now has information that can actually validate the PDF itself, so the digital fingerprint, so that you can be assured that it wasn't tampered with. That's it. So there are a lot of things to discuss around that, but that's the basic idea. So you have a PDF, and then you have an anchored or verifiable PDF. Everything is open source. Like the platform to create this is open source. You can, there are open source validators that you can host trivially. And what we would be interested in is to be as compliant as possible, obviously, to the standardization of efforts. I've been following the verifiable credentials for quite some time now. I was lacking in the group. I wasn't really being very active. But I have even partial designs of how that could be accomplished. Our interest in, more specifically, our interest is, as I see it, is in two separate areas. The first area is I think there would be needed some to do some extensions, use the extensibility framework that VC provides, and add some extensions onto how to do the anchoring using our approach, our mechanism. And the second one is how to standardize how the VC's credentials could be embedded into a PDF. And the end result would be that a VC universal validator would be able to accept these PDFs and know how to exactly go inside them, get a specific VC credential, and then verify it as a VC credential from then on. Right? So use it as the medium of the user PDF as the container, which contains the VC compatible credential.
Great, thank you, Kostas. We have a couple of people on the queue. Martin, you're up first.
Okay, yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. There will be a transition period in which people will work both with the PDFs that they are expecting nowadays and are getting used to, and going to full, basically, data objects with credentials in there. It also is quite similar to the approach that, as you probably know, has been taken by open badges in the past of basically inserting JSON information into a PNG, an image. So it makes sense, and we're happy to help with that. Just a little bit more background of Spherion. We come from the field of document processing, and we have been working for, I would say, 15 years with PDFs, not as much, of course, as Leonard from Adobe, but we certainly believe we know a lot of it. And we already are doing things like inserting certificates and data into PDFs, and also registering these on blockchain and things like that. So I think we can work together on that, and it makes sense. So happy to help with that and dive into it in the community.
Thank you. And Anthony, you're up.
I just want to say I understand the PDF first approach. I just wanted though to also make people aware that let's say PDF first approach isn't the only approach. So let's say personally, the projects I represent come from the area. I'll start with an XML or JSON and then represent them in different layers. And there's a lot of, let's say, pluses or minuses there. For the moment, all I'm saying is I have no problem with both approaches living side by side. But let's say we would have significant pushback if there was, let's say, a preference for PDF.
Yeah, Anthony, that totally makes sense. I think I'm in a similar boat where, so I had a few things I wanted to mention. So first was talking about this as it compares, contrasts to, say, the LER approach, and that, you know, we will have alternative methods of considering what's the envelope, basically. But I think I'm kind of interested in seeing things play out a little bit to see which mechanisms we find most useful. And at least if we can get alignment, even on the incubation side, then I think that's a great win. So first, I wanted to mention, I'm assuming that what you're doing to embed the basically the signature, like say, especially if it's anchored to the blockchain, is you must be using JSON-LD canonicalization so that it's deterministic, because otherwise, if you modify the PDF after anchoring it to a blockchain or signing it or whatever, then it invalidates the hash. So I'm assuming that, first of all. And so I think that the mechanism of like that and the general mechanisms of how you're embedding into PDF, you know, with that framing, that it is an interesting way to pursue what that envelope structure, PDF as envelope structure, looks like, would be interesting as a work item. I included in the chat basically information about how to start a work item. So basically, it seems like we would be close to having what's required. So we have this. If you go to that page, we have a template basically that you fill out. I'm sorry. I think I pulled in the wrong thing. Let me find the correct link. I meant to pull up the proposed CCG work item, which is right at this location in chat. And then now I'll paste in IRC as well. And so essentially what happens is we have a GitHub issue template, new work item template, and it prompts you to fill out certain information like the abstract or draft of the work item. And then the important thing is that we need editors or basically owners of the work item, and there has to include representation from at least two, we say companies, but it really means org. So it seems like between Kosas and org and Spherion, we have sufficient traction there. So basically you would just fill out this new work item template, mention what you want to do at a high level, and you know, you can also link to a Google Doc or a Markdown page or something describing your approach if you have it. And then what happens is the chairs will discuss, see if there's any substantive objections in the community, and then we'll create a work item. And then you can discuss the work item in the CCG, including these meetings specifically. Let's see, was there any other thing I wanted to add? Yeah, the last thing I wanted to mention was the LER approach, which is, you know, to Anthony's point, the LER approach kind of inverts that. So it's using the basically a JSON structure as the envelope, and then it embeds a PDF in there. So I do think for a while we're going to see a variety of different approaches. And while it might drive us a little crazy in the meantime, trying to keep track of all of them, it will be interesting to find out which ones we find most usable in the end. Let me see. The queuing mechanism is kind of messed up, but okay. I think I see, Anthony, you added an additional agenda item. I think we still have, let me see. Does anyone else have anything they want to add on the PDF discussion, or is everything else new topics?
Kim, this is Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
I just wanted, I put it in chat, but I put a link to the wrapper wallet spec paper that Jim Goodell and Jim Kelly and others contributed to that describes the LAR approach with the PDF as a payload. And just to have make sure that everybody's familiar with that and can take a look.
Great, thank you, Phil. So I think with that, we have items that are sort of next items in it. Let's see. So Anthony, do you want to talk to your additional item right now?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, I just wanted to try and start some discussion on some of the things we seem to have been, let's say, dancing around in the issues. I also had at least some first chats with Nathan Simon about this in a side channel, but really wanted to bring it to the main group and, let's say, move it forward. And one of the things I think we need to reach some kind of agreement on is essentially, let's say, what type of concepts and to what level of granularity do we want to go in this task force? I can essentially say, let's say, if I look at it from my perspective, there are, let's say, a set of concepts that I think need standardization. One being just being able to represent a skill, which some of the examples we have in there already have. A second being able to represent, let's say, more formal education diploma, which implies, let's say, something a lot more detailed and which typically has grades. And the third thing would be that I would want to be able to represent what you might call informal education, basically just saying, hey, I attended a webinar and that's it. Those would, let's say, be my idea of the high level. But basically, I was hoping to start a discussion with the group on what are the, let's say, very basic high level concepts that we need to represent. I'm not sure if that should happen as a discussion under an issue in the GitHub, or if it's something we should discuss in a meeting. But let's say we jump straight into has achieved, has credential without having a slightly wider discussion on what are the actual concepts that all types of education need across the spectrum.
I think that's a great point. And so two responses to that, and let me make sure I'm following the queue as well. So two responses. One, I do think it's important to discuss here. I think that my understanding of what we want to accomplish with that draft specification is exactly what you have mentioned, but at the same time, that's not been actually, I'm not sure that's been clearly represented at this point. So I would like to have some tracking around it. And then also related to that, that would be a good forcing function to move the issue. So we have a few issues in the VCED models repo that are not specific to what you described, right? And so I think we need to be moving those out, and I can move those to the VCED repo, like the main repo, as opposed to this repo. So I think basically the idea that we clarify scope on this document and then and continue iterating here, but make a clear distinction between this artifact that we're producing versus other artifacts. So that's a great idea. If you wouldn't mind opening an issue on that with what you said, that would be super useful. And then we can discuss there if anyone has any other scenarios that they definitely want to be in that document, but otherwise I'll be moving everything not related out of this repo. We do have a queue. Simone, I think was yours adding a new, was yours to discuss a new agenda item, or was that related to what Anthony's saying?
I'd say they're related.
Okay, great.
In fact, This is maybe at a more general level, because the issue is to map, and I'm going to maybe abuse this word, what's, you know, all learner record spec, particularly if we start from EDCI, which is definitely like new, but not really new, but certainly very powerful and visible, would be even more so. So just whether it's PESC, whether it's IMS, whether it's SEDS, I mean, all the different learning records, and map them to EDCI, or maybe create an application profile of that, you know, leveraging some of the mapping tool that already exists. The credential engine is one, or the work done with EdMatrix. So have that, I don't know if that classifies as a new work item, maybe not, but this is an activity that we started, as Anthony said, you know, on a sidebar, but feel like this is the right place to foster it. And then eventually that work could be pushed over the fence onto the IEEE ILR recommended practices document. I would very much like to see that happening.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I thought, maybe I'm wrong, I thought that we had some EDCI representation currently in this, but I think, let me pull that up real fast. Yeah, we have example 4 EDCI. I agree on what you're saying, like there may be sort of more narrow or small goals we have for VCED, this one draft specification that we're working on. There may be more in-depth work that we need to do as a separate work item, but I think it's important to have EDCI captured in this. And then we can also iterate on what's the scope of what we want to carry in to this document. You know, maybe it's just some MVP kind of representation of a common scenario with EDCI, versus the more in-depth mapping work that needs to happen. But I think that that's really important to keep progressing on. So Simone, I think I'm trying to think of how to capture what you're saying. I think we can probably do it as a spinoff, or you know, sort of in the thread of what Anthony was talking about. And you know, as we find something that seems maybe too specialized or something, we can start moving from there. Martin, you're up next.
That was an older cue for the PDF. So that was answered.
Okay, great. Simone, to ask what an LER is, good question. I cannot keep track of what it means even. So it used to be an ILR. Does anyone remember? I'm guessing Phil would probably know off the top of his head.
Gosh, good guess. Learning and employment record, it is the new TLN, or three-letter acronym, TLA for an interoperability learner record, ILR. And it came about simply from ILR, and it morphed simply to be more embracing of the talent workflow pipeline employer community as well. So that's what it represents. And I just putting in chat a reference to a tool in development, but it is, that's not what I want. It is in fact a mapper between the different standards that has been in development. Stuart, actually, you may be involved in doing work on this as well, but as soon as I have a chance, I'll put the URL in the chat. It does map with a SEDS backbone to IMS Global, to a bunch of existing things that are very US centric, but it might be a starting point to consider what the mapping might look like.
Great, thank you. Okay, and let me check the queue. I think we worked through everyone. Apology that my queuing system isn't working. Okay, so there were a few issues, and I want to keep in mind with the framing that Anthony provided us that we do need a much clearer scope of what we want to get out of this modeling verifiable credentials for education document. There were a few things that I've been very eager to discuss, especially with the group that we have on the call right now. And I'm curious, I know Nate and Anthony have been commenting a lot in the issues. I think I was curious to hear if they have any sort of issues they want to discuss higher priority. For me, some things I was very interested to talk about were, the image integrity one, issue number 3, and then possibly issues number 1 and 6. Nate, I'm curious, did you have a pressing one you wanted to discuss for the modeling verifiable credentials spec?
Cool, thanks. No, I don't have them in front of me. Oh, there we go. You sent the link. No, I don't. Overall, I think that we have plenty of work that we need to do on these items. And I think that if we can make some of the different models a little bit more consistent and complete, you know, and now that they're in GitHub and the examples are here, I think we've got some good opportunity to actually start analyzing what is different about these different things, what purposes can each of these serve, and then potentially we can start resolving unneeded differences between the different systems. Like, for example, if we all feel that a has schema.org has credential claim is a useful claim to use to express the fact that an individual has achieved a credential definition, then we can update a number of the different models to that, where they are not just external references to some other spec that is managed by a different group. I really want to move also just talking about recipient identification, issuer identification, and which signature proof methods people propose to use, and which authentication methods people propose to use with various forms of DIDs that they want to support. Like, what are the DID methods that are useful for us, and how does a learner prove they have control of a particular DID, either via an in-person challenge across, you know, a desk with an employment manager, or logged into a web app. Those are the other layers of the stack that we should make sure we're considering beyond just the formats of individual records.
Okay, these are great points. On the topic of has performed, that's actually probably a good one to start with. That one is kind of critical in the sense of, it's we're using it as a bridge to schema.org, and it's a proposed change to schema.org, but it having clarity around that will help ensure that our bridges to definitions like credential engine and things like that are more stable. So with that, let's actually start with number 5. And I may tee up Anthony, if he's able to talk about this. So let me share my screen as well. So this is the proposal of adding has performed to schema.org. There's some grammatical inconsistencies that none of us are happy with, but basically the idea is that schema.org already has a has credential that the target, the let's see. So that is on, that's defined on person, I believe. Nate, if this is, I haven't looked at this in a while. Can you refresh our memory on that one?
Yeah, sorry. I just realized I was sitting in a room that had background music playing. So I had to run to the other room. So yes, the proposal here for number 5, add has performed to schema.org is a assertion that has credential is a useful pattern, and we will use that when it makes sense for when there is a credential definition available. So an achievement definition that has its own criteria, et cetera. It represents maybe a learning experience and an assessment regime issue, you know, that is operated by a particular issuer. There's another set of use cases, and one of the examples of them is in the models as the open skills assertion, where instead of making an assertion that a learner has achieved a particular set of criteria, as assessed by a particular organization, the issuer is making a claim that the learner has achieved a skill or a competency directly. So like Phil has achieved communication, and it points direct in, instead of to Phil has achieved a communication badges criteria. And so the argument is maybe it's useful to separate these things in the schema.org vocabulary. And when you're saying has credential, you're pointing to a particular defined credential. And when you're saying has performed, you're pointing to a specific competency or other underlying learning objective. Does that make sense?
Right. And the one other thing I wanted to add is that if has credential were not already there as a proposed addition to schema.org, we probably would have wanted has achieved versus has performed. However, has credential is already there. And so I think what we're doing is, you know, we're saying that we'll keep has credential and then we'll add has performed as this new thing. So for example, open skills assertion. Anthony, you have the last comment on it. So you mentioned rightly has credential is still a little bit unclear. Did Nate's comments address your concerns there?
So I've had a chat with Nate after this actually, and so I understand has credential now. What I would suggest, and I can volunteer to do the first round of this myself, is before we decide, let's say, what the grammatical terms are, I think it would be useful just to make a list of the definitions we need. In my head, I have four definitions that we need. I'm very happy to, let's say, add them directly to the ByteShed file or to an issue and, let's say, open it up for discussion. Once we agree what it is we want to describe, the naming is nearly secondary.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. I'm just updating the spec. So, okay, that's good. It's so... I like that we're keeping momentum going on that one.
The short one though, so nobody expects nasty surprises. Everything that people want to describe in this issue so far, I basically agree with. I think we're essentially missing one or two more on top of it. And that's what I'll be contributing.
Great. Anthony, since we do have you on the call, there is this, discussion of image integrity that I'm very, very interested in. I've not been checking the queue. Before moving on to that, call on Phil Barker.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make the quick point that schema.org is a very generic vocabulary. And when you put terms into it, they're not going to get used only by the community that you represent. They're going to be seen and used by all sorts of communities. So I wonder what our response in this community would be if has performed gets used for things like, you know, I have performed Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting it's a problem. I'm just raising it.
Let's see. Anthony, did you already go? Let me call on you.
No, I already go, but actually that's exactly what I want to use has performed for. So it's a wonderful example.
Excellent. So that is one thing. I mean, it would kind of help if we could, you know, so in some cases with schema.org, you can define a range or the domain of types on which something makes sense. And so that's where I'm a little bit confused. Like, so you can say person, you know, we say that this term is defined on person, but in terms of what it applies to, Can you not also restrict types there? Or are we, that's maybe more a question for Phil.
You can, but it's a moving and organic vocabulary. So you might put it in with a restricted type, but it may well grow after you've put it in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense with what I'm aware of with schema.org. So, but I guess in this case, the example you've given, we're all very happy with it. So, but I do want to think about that some more in light of what Anthony's going to add for the kinds of terms that we, or concepts that we may want to add before we start thinking about terms. Let me just check real fast both. Okay, I think we went through the queue. Next thing I am eager to discuss is, okay, again, with the framing, this may not end up being in scope for VCED models, but it's something that's very critical to push along. And I think there'll be the most momentum in this group is image integrity. So if I'm still sharing my screen, which it looks like, Anthony described this common notion of display properties field. And so I think that the way that he had described it was interesting to me in that it seemed to be adding flexibility to export a verifiable credential as, say, export as PDF, XML, image, or a variety of different formats that you would need printing. In the pilots that I've come up with, it does seem to make sense to have some general notion of, we don't necessarily want to expect that the image representations of a verifiable credential will be a specific image encoding format. Like, we can't necessarily expect it'll be, you know, just a PNG or JPEG, or even a PNG or JPEG. I think that it will end up making sense that we describe this as some sort of general display. I'm calling it display instructions, in fact, instead of display properties. And I want to propose that we start iterating on what that might look like in the context of this group. And so it won't necessarily just be images corresponding to the credential itself, but it might be common sort of alternative representations to allow things like, say, if you have a wallet with a bunch of verifiable credentials and you want, you know, either preview images or images corresponding to the issuer of the claim. So I think that for all of these, it may make sense to align on a common set of metadata so that we can at least, you know, implement our wallets or our kind of group displays of these things in similar ways. Anthony, can I call on you to add more, to discuss sort of what you've seen in the EDCI model around images and display parameters?
Yeah, sure. So I'll actually update this issue with our latest, because we've been iterating a fair amount since then. First of all, the rationale behind it. So we've essentially got two design considerations that led us down this approach. Number one, member states are really attached to their display formats. So all over Europe, there's laws that says what various types of credentials need to look like. And even though you say all the data is in the credential, if you don't display it in a very particular way, it's as good as useless. It's something that we need to support. Because of this, we also felt that, let's say, the display parameter should be part of the signed payload, because we want to, let's say, give some assurance that it's being displayed in the correct format. The second part of this is that, at least for us, we always try and design for 30 years in the future. which means we want to, let's say, express those display parameters with the, let's say, the most future-proof code or tech we can. What that effectively means for us at the moment is that display parameters is basically a block of HTML expressing how that particular credential should be viewed. And then the HTML can be, let's say, you know, anything that can parse HTML can be used to export the credential. That's basically what there is to say from our side. So, I mean, lately, this basically is a container for HTML.
Right. Let me check the queue real fast. Okay. So some questions I have about that. Are you saying that HTML is considered, how do you say it? Are you saying that there's no other display options on top of HTML that are required by EDCI at least?
No, so for us, I mean, so the parameters we have is one HTML, and I think we have a separate one for the background image, but the HTML is any HTML we will display, basically. That's how we've designed the system.
Right. I think my question is that, you know, in general, like at this layer that we're specifying, do we need some sort of abstraction on top of that even? Saying like I'm calling it display instructions, but it would be something like, you know, one option for it would be display HTML, and then people could put their HTML in there. Another would be, say, a PDF file or a link to a PDF file with content integrity hash, you know, just plain. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting. All I can say is we haven't started with our, let's say, open batch compatibility yet. But one of the ideas we were playing with was using the display properties also to, for example, put the open batch image in. So this idea of saying, listen, this is different display properties for different formats and systems would be very attractive to us.
Okay. Let me see if there's anyone else. Let's see, Phil, yes. So here's the thing. There's what might happen at different layers of the spec, basically. So I think what I'm describing may bridge several layers, and it probably makes sense to tease it apart. But say, for example, I could see value in something at the LER wrapper or, you know, sort of wallet layer that's saying for LER wallet implementers, this is where you go to you know, find the thumbnail, like you said, or maybe the image corresponding to the issuing entity or something like that, but that it would be a common set of metadata to let wallet implementers, you know, sort of display things in a similar way. But that, you know, if that's happening at the LER wallet layer, that doesn't necessarily have to be a common standard that other people use. But at the same time, it would be interesting also to see what makes sense at the, say, universal wallet layer, which is not necessarily EDU specific, but, you know, so I think that there's several layers at which this common image or other metadata might be useful to add. It's just, we need to start experimenting with what goes where. No one else on the queue for that. There's one other issue that I wanted to get Nate's opinion on specifically, and anyone else. So there's this standard definitions of issuers, issue number 6. One thing that has been useful, open badges sort of definition of an issuer profile for a while actually was there. I'm not sure if this still remains, but for a while, the definition of issuer that was used in open badges and the definition used in the verifiable credential data model was pretty much the same. And I think they both are sort of extending or they relate in some way to schema.org person perhaps, although now I'm not seeing that, so I could be wrong. But in terms of wallet metadata and any other sort of metadata that you might expose with the credential, there's a very useful set of common terms here, like especially a lot of the first ones that people end up wanting to display as part of wallet sorting and whatever kinds of displays. I think that in terms of, you know, if we define a common class or type for issuers, really the open badge profile that's here is the main one I've seen. So I've just been using it because it's convenient. But I wonder, is it something that would make sense to, like, are there alternative types out there? Is this something that would be convenient to standardize on if possible? So again, this would be something more at the LER wrapper or something layer that we're building as part of this effort. But let me see, actually, I got to it from here. But yeah, so are there any other issuer types that are interesting? Would there be any problems with aligning on, say, the open badges type definition of issuer profile? Curious if there are any thoughts on that.
Hey, this is Nate. I added myself to the queue to respond about issuer types. So I think open badges is a pretty simple and clear approach. It, you know, it does use schema.org terms, and within the context of open badges, there are a set of required terms that if you're going to use a profile as an issuer profile, you've got to present a contact email, a URL that represents yourself, the actual ID of the issuer, a couple other things. That has been a useful concept because it does create consistency within some portion of the market. I don't think, I mean, we're not a standardizing something here, but I think there just inevitably will be some more variance when we break out of the world of just open badges into, you know, a broader, more open concept of verifiable credentials used for education. One thing we want to enable, of course, is to allow DIDs to be used as issuer IDs. And so expressing a DID, you know, it comes down to what information is in the DID document for that DID when you resolve it. And would it be possible to even put a schema.org/name property into the DID document? Maybe with some DIDs. And so we have to choose, you know, what are some DID methods that we propose? What are the authentication mechanisms that we propose to connect the issuer profile revealed through the DID document to the proof that is has signed a particular credential purporting to be by that issuer? And we may not have the ability in some scenarios that work for those use cases to require, like, say, these open badges properties to appear in those DIDs. I think overall that's fine. Let's get to some useful examples. But I think in the verifiable credentials data model spec, it does express the utility of being able to dereference an identifier for an issuer, and that applies to both URIs and of HTTP scheme and DIDs, and then being able to get some useful information back that allows you to authenticate whether the signature is real, but also just learn more metadata about who the issuer expresses themselves by. That's all I'll say on that for now, is I think we've got to do some experimentation and also line up the other pieces of the tech stack that we want in the place. And one of the other efforts that we might want to take a look at is that trust over IP network, which has a whole bunch of work about a stack that enables issuers to be trusted on the Hyperledger Ares blockchain through various different verifiers. And I'm not sure what capabilities that particular tech stack has, but they are interested in education as well.
All right. Okay. That sounds great. Let me check the queue real fast. Okay. Phil, you're up.
Just what it said in the queue, really. You asked whether there were other profiles for describing people who issue credentials. The credential engine will have minimum requirements for organizations that are offering credentials. I'll dig those out and add them to the GitHub issue for you.
Sorry about that. Too many windows open, couldn't find it. But yes, that would be great. Would like to see that a lot. And we're at time. Thank you everyone for joining, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kim. Good to see everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Interesting.